Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Norman. I hope you are happy and well when you get this message. Norm, I want to tell you a story. When I was a big-breasted, semen-hungry teenager, my parents and I traveled to Jurassic Park at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida. We went there so that we could board Jurassic World, the ride. While we waited in a super long line, something shocking and X-rated happened to me. While I stood in line with my legs spread, the trunk of a prehistoric animatronic anteater went between my legs. At first, I thought it was part of the show. There were all kinds of prehistoric animatronic animals standing all over the place. The anteater trunk was controlled by motors and servos. It was a very powerful anteater trunk and unbelievably lifelike. The skin covering the trunk was leathery and it was covered in long, fine anteater hairs. The animatronic anteater trunk tore off my hot pants and panties, and then it spit my cum-covered clothes out at a mixed-race couple standing directly behind us. And then the animatronic anteater trunk forced its way deep into my hungry, wet, tight pussy. Norm, I had never been drilled by the trunk of a robotic anteater, but it felt amazing. The anteater trunk gently stroked my throbbing clitoris. My pussy was dripping hundreds of drops of vaginal lubricant per second. While I dripped, the animatronic anteater trunk would suck up the dripping snatch juices running down my supple legs, and it would spit my hot beaver fluids into the dead expressionless face of a wheelchair-bound man sitting on his wheelchair in front of us. While the anteater trunk bore out my delicious fuckhole, I came, and as I came, I moaned. The anteater trunk moved in and out of my desirable pliable cunt hundreds, if not thousands, of times. When my mom and dad tried to intervene, an enormous animatronic elephant came to life and it knocked my folks out by swinging its 12-foot-long elephant trunk into their heads. Norm, at a certain point, the animatronic anteater trunk lifted me off the ground by my fuck hole, and it violently jerked my sweaty body up and down while I rode the anteater trunk deep inside my vagina. Norman, those deep animatronic anteater gash impalements caused me to experience one explosive orgasm after another until I could take no more, and at some point, I blacked out. When I regained consciousness, a Universal Studios security officer told my mom and dad that a handful of deranged bearded Muslims had taken control of all the park animatronics. According to the midget paramedic that was wiping down my cunt using a wet wipe, over 300 teenage girls had their pussy breached and hymens popped by robotic animatronic park prehistoric animals. The paramedic told me that the anteater trunk that rototilled my box smelled like pussy. At least 75 people stood in a line to smell the animatronic anteater trunk that once called my beaver home. Norman, a man that was standing in line with his woman and three kids, walked over to me and he said,
"One time when I was a kid, my dad and I were inside a tent, camping alongside the Ossabaw River in Grayling, Michigan. My dad was on his annual one-week off-work vacation. We were there to fly fish the Grayling River. Sometime in the night, I reached for my water canteen because I was thirsty. When I unscrewed the cap, I took a drink from the canteen, and a massive schlong went into my mouth. Someone had drilled a 2-inch hole into the side of my water canteen, and they had cut a hole into the side of my pop's tent. Some weird fucker must have laid alongside the tent all night, with his dick out. His dick was pushed through the hole that he had cut into the side of the tent, and it was pushed through the hole he drilled into my water canteen. The dude's cock went into the side of the canteen, and then it bent upward to the opening of the canteen. His dickhead was resting right at the threaded opening on the canteen, where you unscrew the cap and take a drink. When I took a drink, his enormous dickhead went into my mouth. I was only 9 years old, man. When my father realized what was happening, he pulled his Glock out of his ankle holster, and he pistol-whipped the big dick with a Glock hand grip until the dick recoiled. My father was super pissed, and he grabbed a hold of his Mac 11 9mm submachine gun. My dad stored the gun in one of his fly fishing tackle boxes. My father ran outside in his underpants, and he shot up the whole area around our tent. When he ran out of 9mm bullets, some bastard swung a cast iron skillet into the side of my dad's head, knocking him out, and then they violently cornholed my old man. The next day, we relocated to another camping spot alongside the river. My pop taped the dick hole cut into the tent using duct tape. He also ordered a half gallon of Listerine mouthwash for me. I'll never forget, Amazon delivered the mouthwash using an early drone prototype. According to the Prime email my dad got right after he ordered the mouthwash, we were the first Amazon test drone delivery ever. It was a bad scene. My pop and I never talked about what had happened to us ever again. Someday I will find his fruit, and I will kill him.
Norm, I am telling you this story in the hopes that it helps your female listeners. Girls, if ever you find yourself standing in the Jurassic Park section at Universal Studios, be careful you don't take an animatronic anteater trunk to your party hole. It happened to me, and it could happen to you. Now I must go. Norm, I call you all the time, but you never phone me back. What gives? Can you please excuse me? I want to vibrate my clitoris and fuck hole while I smoke weed, tap my bong, dry hump a pillow, and come while I lie atop my dead grandmother's whiskey, semen, and piss-stained mattress. Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
Pardon me. Just rolling a cigarette, fuckstick. I'll be right with you. So on the last recording, fuckstick, I talked about how the bottom of my bathtub fell out. I found this great carpet, huge carpet, probably $500-$600 carpet. I found it. And it was in somebody's rubbish on rubbish day. And they had taped it with tape on each ends, and they put it out to the street waiting for the garbage man to come with the trucks to put the carpet into the truck. And I found this thing, and I busted my ass to try to get rid of the urine stink, and it just didn't pan out. I had this big image. I had a giant rug, and people are laughing. It's New Year's Eve and shit. There's all kinds of people over, and they're laughing and party hats. And drinking champagne, and they'd see this carpet. This is what I saw in my mind, and they'd say, wow, where'd you get that carpet? It's absolutely stunning. I was never going to tell them that it was soaked in urine. Urine you can't get out of a carpet, period. Talked about that in the last recording. You just can't. It's got something called uric crystals from a cat, and once those are in the rug, you can't get rid of it. You have to throw the carpet out. It's an honest-to-God fact. You have to have something that neutralizes it, and then it evaporates away. But that shit's very expensive. Eczemimer, something like that you have to have. So I told you that I got this carpet and fixed it up, kept spraying it, kept watering it, put in a bathtub, stunk up the fucking truck. The odors were so bad that anything it touched was gone. And I couldn't understand it. I thought, I don't have a cat. I don't have an animal. Why would it smell like the animal was actually in this truck? It drove me nuts. Then I brought the thing in and did nothing but make everything smell like urine. Urine is closely associated with, in my mind, to a woman's pussy. And think about it. The woman's pussy, her fuckhole, is on top of her asshole, like less than a half an inch. There's the asshole, there's the pussy, and I could smell pussy and urine in the rug. I know this to be true because I have been associated with a lot of women. I've been around a lot of women since I got out of university. And the carpet was just horrible. Now, that sound you might hear, that's me on this chaise lounge. And I'm laying flat on my back, if you want to see the picture. Flat on my back, my dick is out, and I got a dube in my hand. I got next to me this brass plate with a picture of an elephant carved into it. I think it's from India or something like that. It's got a lit dube going in there. Then I got some Nag Champa incense burning right now on another thing. It's this big, long, wooden, narrow thing that you put the stick into, and it's Nag Champa incense. One of the best incenses I ever smelled in my life. So I talked about the rug in the last recording. So I called somebody because the rug was so heavy when I was trying to clean it again for the 15th time. I don't know how many times. I sprayed everything on it possible, then put it in a bathtub, and then because it was so heavy, it went through the bathtub and landed in the basement. Just destroyed the bathtub. Gone. Can't use it. There's cables hanging. There's PVC pipe broken. There's electrical wires down there. There's some copper pipe. He talked about putting PEX pipe in, the plumber that I called out. So I got a call from the same plumbing place, and they said they were sending Stanley over. He was gonna work on the tub with me or fix it. I said I would help with the bathtub to try to lower the cost, but he said, no, we can't do that. Our insurance policy and license and all that stuff. You know that yourself. I said, great. I said, what time's Stanley coming over? And he told me the time. And I thought, okay, Stanley's coming over to help me with the bathtub. I'll get through this. But it's one of those things where you wish you never did it. My God, look what I try to save a dollar, and I got a urine-soaked goddamn carpet with urine, with pet urine, cat urine, or woman's cunt on it. Try to imagine she's on this fucking rug, and there's a fireplace going, the logs are cracking like chicks like, and she's getting bent on that fucking thing all the time. Banged on it from the rear, 69, fucking crammed from the front, dildos and sex machines, and fucking pounding her cunt with your fist. I do that all the time. You got to tenderize the cunt sometimes to get the dick in. Sometimes they're so long not getting a dick that you have to tenderize the meat to put the dick in. It's like if you got a fucking round steak, that cheap steak, and you got to beat it with a hammer. You got to do the same goddamn thing to a woman's pussy if she hasn't had a dick in a long time. You got to beat it with a fucking mallet, this wooden mallet that they beat round steak with. So the guy says Stanley's coming over to help me with a bathtub. Now, I can't stand not being able to take baths. And one of the number one places I work when I'm fucking is in a bathtub. Chicks love it. It's a romantic thing. There's all kinds of bubbles. You got candles going on. You got incense burning. They love to be in a fucking bathtub because now it breaks down the stench of their cunt. Except, and you'll find it's hard to believe, sometimes the odors of her cunt kind of comes out in the steam. And you're like reaching for her. You're like moving your head towards her face to give her a kiss or something, or go deep on her tongue or whatever you're going to do, French kiss her. And as you move in, you can smell pussy because it's coming out of her cunt and bubbles, and it's in the steam. It's in the vapor, the hot water vapor, and you can smell pussy in the vapor, in the hot steam, because their torso's in the fucking tub. I mean, all the way around, the chick is a lot of work. It's a lot of compromising you got to do in your mind to fuck them, to even get near there. As a man, you got to say that to yourself, wow, man, a stink and holes and big cunts, and I can't get myself off a big shithole, and everybody else has destroyed her before I got to her. I don't know if I'm up for this. I mean, you got to bargain with yourself all the time when you're with a goddamn chick. I once had a chick that had a cunt so big, and I will admit this, I was ready to marry this chick. I would have married her. I went with her for years. But then, towards the end of the fucking relationship, I found out she was banging all kinds of people. One of my best friends, he showed me fucking photographs, Polaroid photographs, of her pumping a shift handle in a fucking car. I'm not kidding you. And he was a black guy, and she was pumping a shift handle, and he showed these pictures to me, and I said, those aren't real. This isn't the time. At this time, whatever pictures you saw were real. They're not like today. And she was pumping the stick shift handle with this black guy and just destroyed me. But it was on the ouch anyways. It was ending anyways, because as I was fucking her all the time, I had to put my hand down there and I'd pinch off her cunt lips with my two fingers, my pointer finger and my middle finger. Now, you try to do that right now. You're trying to grab something right now. Put a pencil on your counter and take your pointer finger and your middle finger and try to get that pencil, pick it up with those two fingers. It's almost impossible. It's the same thing I tried to do with her cunt while my cock was in it. I tried to pinch off her cunt with my fucking pointer finger and middle finger. It was an impossible task. I was sweating like a pig and I was shaking, and I'm sure she knew what I was doing. The goddamn minge wouldn't wrap around my cunt, my fucking dick properly, and I had to really work hard. You got to tighten up the minge to take the dick, don't you? And she wouldn't tighten it up for me at all. It just became a loose, sloppy thing. And that's what all chicks become. Just a fucking dick servant laying there, take the dick. I guess I'll take it. I got to pay some bills or whatever. So I talk to the plumber, and he tells me that he's going to help me out. I need to have the bathtub in. I can't not take baths. I like baths personally. When I was in Vietnam, I was in a bamboo box. I don't know if you know what that is. I was in for two tours, 18 months. A bamboo box was made out of bamboo. It was like a jail cell, like a little box, like your size of your bathroom. It was like that made out of bamboo, and then they lowered it into a river, and they'd put you in it, and then your head would be sticking out like 8 inches above it, and you had to hold your nose up or you'd fucking drown. I was in one of those. I don't particularly like showers. I was in it for a short time. A lot of people ended up in that until their platoon found them and came in the area and nuked everybody, took them the fuck out. So I fucking don't want to take a shower if I can avoid taking a shower. And you don't want to be able to take a shower, man. This is something that bothers me. If you're in a shower and you're fucking, or your cock's in your woman's hole, and you look down her legs, it goes from fat to thin, and you look down and you see her goddamn feet. There's something about seeing feet while you're fucking that doesn't seem romantic. Big, horsey, bunion feet. Big goddamn toenails with toenail fungus. The fucking toenail gets a half inch thick and she's in the tub shower with you and you're fucking. It just doesn't look romantic. They turn around and shit and look at her goddamn puckered asshole and puckered ass and the cheeks. In a bathtub, you don't see any of that. I don't associate feet in any way with fucking or orgasms or getting off or romance or none of like that. And I don't want to look down at fucking feet. And on top of it, the steam rises in a shower. When it rises in a shower, when it goes down, it goes past her pussy, it hits the ground, there's a drain there, of course, but then the steam comes up, and it sucked all that pussy odor up into the steam, and you're breathing pussy, super amounts of it, like pussy galore, amounts of fucking steam saturated with fucking pussy odors, just like the goddamn carpet I had, which really turned me off and reminded me of all these bad things. This doesn't want nothing to do with it. I don't want to fuck in a shower. If I come to your house and I'm fuck your sister and you're there, first thing I'm going to do is try to knock you unconscious with knockout drops. Because I don't want her brother there. I don't want you there when I'm pumping your sister in the next goddamn room. I do it all the time. I always come over with a fucking thermos and there's knockout drops in it. And I give the brother the, hey, you like some peppermint schnapps and coffee? Knockout drops. He's in the fucking living room laying on his goddamn back, bent over a chaise lounge, bent over a footstool, and I'm in there banging his sister out. I've done shit like that. That's the kind of adventurer that I am. That's the kind of adventurer that you have to become in life to be able to get the things you want. So I don't like taking showers, especially say you're taking a shower and I've had this happen. You partied all goddamn night, maybe ate oatmeal early in the morning, and you maybe know this yourself. A lot of people are allergic to oatmeal, especially bitches. You smoked dope all night, took the dick all night, took everything she could, gave little back, and then she shits while she's standing up in the shower. Now she smells like fucking urine. She smells like shit. There's shit on the floor. And I just don't want anything to do with it. I want to be in a bathtub laying down and my head sunk into the suds and her head sunk into the suds. And you just see our fucking eyes. It's like something creepy, man. We're looking across mountains of suds at each other and she's looking at me and I'm looking at her and we're silent and you just hear water moving around and just our eyeballs are locked onto each other. It's incredible, man. Maybe you can shove your toe into her cunt or she can fucking roll your balls around with the bottom of her bunion foot. And they are bunioned. Big bunion-y foot, corns all over them, big thick fucking calluses. I just don't want to see that shit when I'm fucking. I create this illusion. I create this fucking reality just like you do. And I want to set the stage just right so I can get my fucking rocks off. And I don't want anything to get in a goddamn way. So the plumber on the phone tells me Stanley's coming over to help you with the bathtub. The bathtub that I blew out, the bottom exploded. This is honest to God truth. Because the carpet that I found that I put in the tub to try to kill the stink of urine got so heavy. Plumber told me it probably weighed over 1,000 pounds. He said, tubs aren't worth made to be 1,000 pounds. He said, here's how a bathtub works. He said, at best they can handle 500 pounds, but he said, it requires 100% structural supports underneath the 4x4s, the 2x4s, the 2x12s, whatever holds the floorboards up, it requires that to be definitely in top-notch shape, which means mine must not have been because it was over 500 pounds. He said, when you're pushing 1,000 pounds, somebody's going through the fucking floor. And that's what happened with the carpet. It went through the goddamn floor because it got so freaking heavy. So he says, I'm going to send Stanley over, and he's going to work on the tub with you. We'll get it straightened out. He said, no problem. We'll get it all straightened out. Now, he said, I want to talk to you about something. I said, what is that? He said, now, there's two types of tubs. There's a steel tub. There's a plastic, three types, a plastic tub and a fiberglass tub. He said, I would recommend in your case a steel tub. He said, the bottom will never go through ever again. And he said, I got to send somebody over after that. Now, Stanley, he said, can do minor carpentry work. And he said, trusses and joists and all that to hold the floor up. But there might be someone else coming out, too, to figure out how to rebuild the floor. So that means I had a 1,000-pound carpet filled with water and urine. Now, when I was doing it, this is the truth. I've looked this up. I was sick. I started to get sicker smelling the urine. And I got sicker and sicker, and I felt weaker and weaker as I smelled the urine. It wouldn't go away. And then I look it up, and it said some people are allergic to the stench of urine, and they can't get over it for a couple of weeks. You got to go to a psychiatrist, and that psychiatrist will try to give you another odor to try to supersede, break off the other odor that you're fixated on, which is the stink of this urine. I mean, I can still smell it. I can walk places and still smell urine. I've been around chicks. I smell urine. I've got hyper-focus, hyper-notice ability with regards to urine, and all chicks are filled with a half a gallon of urine all the time, and there's urine in their drawers all the time, and I can smell urine wherever I fucking go. I say to myself aloud when I'm walking away, Jesus Christ, I smell urine still. Everywhere I go, I smell fucking urine. That's what this rug did for me. I thought, wow, $500 carpet. I got it scot-free. They ain't campy animals. They couldn't have had this in their house. This isn't covered in urine. I've never experienced anything like that. And except I've had extreme angers, fits of rage, extreme fucking anger of wanting to kill these people, of wanting to drive past their house. Now I have an Uzi. I've got a Mac. It's not a Mac 10. I think it's a Mac 11 or Mac 12 now. I've got the upgraded version. I got all kinds of stuff. And I just want to drive past her house and cut him in half. Well, she's in there beating him off, or she's in there, he's in there eating her out. They're trying to live this life, and this is shit you're supposed to do. Just cut him the fucking half. Thanks for the carpet as I'm going by with a fucking battery-powered PA system. That background feedback and the noise as I'm going past the motherfuckers is cut him in half. They believe a carpet was the reason for the hit. That's how badly I was annoyed by this. So He says, I'm going to send Stanley over. Talks about the floorboards, the joists, the repair, the electrician. He said, as a plumber, I can't do electrical work. I have to send an electrician to do the electrical work. And then he said, I can do the... Excuse me. I think I'm smelling urine right now. He said, I can work on the PEX pipe and the plumbing and all that, but I can't work on the electrical. So this thing's turned into a massive fucking financial strain for your correspondent, Norm Augustinus. Yes, I am fucking attractive. Yes, I'm 6'2 with gleamingly bright green eyes. Yes, I'm well-spoken, but bills like this, unexpected bills, can be overwhelming because I don't have it. Because I'm kind of an artist or something like that, living in an artist wage. So he says, I'll send Stanley over, and he hangs the phone up. And I'm thinking about all kinds of things. Happened to fuck in the shower, which reminds me of the bamboo cage in Vietnam. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want some chick standing there looking at her big goddamn Bigfoot feet, looking at her goddamn shit that she laid out. She shit maybe as I'm playing with her clit. Some people shit when they play around with their pussy, and they'll shit in the shower. I just don't want anything like that. And I have washed chicks' cunts out on kitchen sinks with a sprayer. Before going, whatever I have to do with that, wash their cunt out, use fucking lemon pledge on their legs and stuff, and it really kind of makes it more approachable. So a day goes by, and it's like 6 in the morning. As it might be 6:30, really early in the morning, I've got the latest issue of Steer Inc. magazine. It's by invite only. Steer Inc. is by invite only. You got to be kind of in a big shot, kind of big like your correspondent, to be able to be invited to Steer Inc. When I was the editor of the school newspaper at Ferris State University, one place I went, I got invited, I got a secret invite to something they have there, a private union, a private club, and I never went because someone told me they could be dangerous. Now once I was the editor, see, they were interested in your correspondent. Never joined, never did nothing like that. It was a private group of men, maybe 8 or 10 men, and I got a secret invite to go to that because now they thought I could help them. Got to be on the watch for that shit. Be careful for that shit. That's why I've done so well for so long, because I can spot trouble straight away. So the guy says, I'll send Stanley out. And Stanley's going to come out. I've said that like 8 times, I'm sure. Stanley's coming out, but I have to retract because I often break off whatever I want to talk and go somewhere else, then I have to back up and restart and rebring you back to where I was. It can be frustrating to some people. It can be frustrating to me. I mean, I'm so involved in whatever story I tell you, which is always real, that I told you before, I often can't breathe. I often lose breath. I found myself passing out in here. I found myself knocked out. I can't tell you how many times I've been laying in the basement, knocked out, and I wake up and it's dark out now, and I had started the recording, but you never heard that recording because I was knocked out. I couldn't say anything. When you're knocked out, you can't say anything, so I couldn't say a fucking thing because I was knocked out because I forgot to breathe because I thought whatever it is I say is so goddamn valuable. So the next morning, like 6 in the morning, I'm fingering through Steer Inc. magazine. It's a magazine that has the most unbelievable things in it that you can learn that are not anywhere else advertised, not anywhere else can appear. Newspapers or magazines or periodicals, they won't appear anywhere. They're only for thinkers like you and I, open-minded, open thinkers, free thinkers who don't want to be controlled or be operated by anybody else. They want control of their own mind, and you should have that. 60 fucking beats a minute, 90 beats a minute, whatever your heartbeat is, a gallon and a half of blood. Who in the fuck in their right mind thinks they own you, even for $14 or $16 an hour? It makes no goddamn sense, that fucking mentality, and it's never going to happen to me. I'd fucking blow my brains out before anybody could somehow run me in any way that's derogatory to the way I think. I just can't allow that, and neither can you. Once you do that, well, they say it's a slippery slope and you won't know yourself. You'll break down, become a different person, and now you're open to being married, and you'll get married and be destroyed further, motherfucker, by the bitch you pick. So it's 6 in the morning. I'm looking through Steer magazine, and there's some great articles in there. They're talking about how marijuana now is so goddamn powerful that it's causing all kinds of problems. 97% THC. Well, I've been smoking 97% THC for goddamn years. Pinconning Paralyzer, grown only in Michigan. I've been smoking that for years, man. It doesn't bother me at all. In fact, if it's not 97%, I just feel like I'm smoking newspaper rolled up in fucking zigzag rolling paper. That's what it feels like. So I'm in my room, I got my dick out, and I'm thinking, you know, do I weaken myself today? I've got guests coming over, a person working on a bathtub. Do I weaken myself? Because that's what happens when you masturbate, when you pump off. You get weaker, your cum's all over the place. Do I weaken myself? Do I drop my edge? If I fucking start playing with my dick, I got my mirror ball going, I got my black lights on, I got fucking my lava lamp going on in the room. I do that shit sometimes it's on all goddamn night while I'm wasted. It's just an incredible fucking life, man. So, 6 in the morning or something, there's a heavy knock at the door. Boom, 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 boom. Now, that kind of a knock has always scared me. I right away equate it to the police or the FBI or the Secret Service. Whatever it is, I equate it to that because I've been investigated before. You can look it up. It's not a joke. I've been investigated before by things I have said or done, and I think, who is it today? FBI, fucking police department. Who's beating on my door so authoritatively that I now kind of got scared and I had to get up? Now, when I get up, I have to pull my panties up, and I have these bamboo fucking clogs. They're the most fantastic things you've ever seen. They're handmade clogs made out of bamboo. And then I have another pair of shoes that I usually wear, and these are fucking moccasins made by a woman I know up here named Running Flaps. Running Flaps is an actual Apache who lives in the woods with a gigantic tribe of Apaches. It sounds crazy. I know it sounds absolutely ridiculous. It seems impossible. But these people came here a long ago when all the white bitches were going out with their big tits, were going west to see what else they could grift off the world, to see what else they could steal and get off the world, what dude they could fucking infiltrate, what corruption they could be the fucking base of. They're all heading out west. Well, the Indians had to go. And they did go, the ones that were smart, like the Jewish people, leaving when they could. And they went fucking to Michigan because we got so many acres of woods. We have, this is no shit, 186 million acres of woods in Michigan. It's just unbelievable, man. You could go there and never be found again. If you go up to the UP and you go into the Porkies, the Porky Mountains, you could hide out there forever, man. I went in there once and I turned right around. I went about a half mile in. It was the darkest fucking woods I ever saw. I heard all kinds of sounds and I thought, why would anybody looks like you with a big dick like you have be walking around in the woods, be ready to killed by a goddamn wolverine, be killed by a black bear, a brown bear? And they even say there's grizzlies up in the Porkies, the Porky Mountains, because they're coming back. They're moving back from other places in Canada, and it's a bordering Canada. So I thought, I'm going to back out of here now. This kind of feels dangerous. It's so dangerous when you go into the Porky's. You've got to sign a thing that you start to enter. It's a big board. You got to put your name on it. When you entered, your phone number. They want to know who's in there. And then you come back out and you say, checked out. You have to say, returned. They want to know who's in there who doesn't return. And I thought, no, I don't think so. I got a lot of fucking to do still. Things like that. Head, fucking, 69, all kinds of shit ahead of me. I don't want to get cut in half by some bear. And I certainly would fight and squeal and make it worse. So you don't want to do that. So as I'm looking through the magazine, I hear this big knock at the door. And I think it's the cops. I think it's the FBI. It's a heavy, authoritative knock. That's the kind of knock you got to be worried about. It means you've done something, or some bitch is serving you a summons or some shit like that. You'll know the difference in the knocks right away. Little knock, it's like, here I am. I'm unassuming. It's a chick coming over again. I know that knock. Here I am. I'm at your door, Norm. I want to suck your cock. I want to go down on you. I want to 69. I want to scissor you and shit. She's at the door, and she doesn't want to seem bulldogish, and she wants to be polite and genuine and feminine. And all the way, because she's going to take a real trip with me, not like other men with a standard fucking, and you're going to work with your F-250. It's not that kind of fucking. When they get involved with me and they're ready to fuck, it's a goddamn virtual beating. It's a fucking smackdown. It's a fight from one end to the other. Honest to God, it's insanity. It's crossed eyes. It's rolled back eyes. It's screaming. But that's the shit they want, and I found this to be true, man. So I go to the door. I put my moccasins on. That my friend Running Flaps, who lives, she's an Apache, and lives in the upper northern woods, and they're actually offering a reward for these Apaches with photographs and other things, but I'm a friend with Running Flaps. I've even fucked her. One time I bent over a stump in the goddamn woods, Running Flaps, she dropped her leather panties, and it was like nothing you've ever seen. Holy shit. Man, it was just above and beyond anything you could imagine seeing this pure all-American thing with her fucking leather panties on, dropping them down and inviting me, wanting my member to enter her. And I fucked her on this tree stump, which was absolutely incredible. Now, let me tell you about that. There was these little bugs in a tree stump. I think they were termites. And they would run up and down your legs, and they would make these little bites. And I've never told anybody this, but the little bites felt like little vibrators, like vibrations all over my legs as I was diving deep into Running Flaps fucking Indian cunt. It was incredible, man. That's the kind of, I'm fucking worried about my bag running out. I'm worried about my bag getting old or my dick getting old and not being able to use it. Because like 80% of my fucking person is a dick. A dick, a full boy, a full bag of fucking cum, a big dick, all kinds of pubic hairs. It's incredible that way. Pubic hairs, if you've done it right, they will actually extend themselves when you're coming. They're not loose and limp and all curly. They'll extend themselves like quills on a porcupine if you're fucking correctly. If you're spiritually in it so deeply, like you've taken peyote, if you have that, now you got this result. Straight pubic hairs, not curly ones. They just go straight up, man, because of the excitement of what's going on. Like little rockets on the 4th of July. That's what it seemed like to me when I fucked Running Flaps. Now, she made me these leather moccasins. When I open the door, when I pull the door open, now, always to the left of my door, I have a little tray of guns. I've got a Glock in there with a Glock switch. I've got an old fucking Colt revolver there. I've got a couple things. I even have grenades with the pins in them, active grenades in my house, because you just don't know. I always reach for one of the guns when I'm opening the door. I don't want anybody to take me out, and I want to take them out first. I want to put one right between their fucking crossed eyes, man. Pop, pop, and that's it. I'm in the middle of nowhere, nobody would know. When I open the door, there's a woman standing there, and an attractive woman, like a woman that is sort of manly-ish, but has scars on her face. Just thick hair, long, and beautiful blue eyes. She's standing there, and it looks like she has a suntan. I don't think she does. Darker skin, I don't know what it is. But she says to me that she is who I told you that he was sending over. She's him. She's him. I'll send him over. So that's him. That him is the girl standing at my door. She's the fucking plumber. I'll send him over. And I said, wow, that sounds good. Send him over. And that's who's standing at my door. She's come over to work on the bathtub in my house. So I'm excited when she says she's the plumber. A lot of people might say, how the fuck would she be the plumber? I'm excited when I find out the female's the plumber. Why am I excited? Because these reasons. Plumbers bend all over. Now, if it's a dude and you see his crack and shit, you don't want that. You don't want nothing to do with him. I mean, this isn't a fruit show. If it's a chick, she's going to bend all over. Her thighs are bending. Her ass is in the air. Her tits are moving around. If her pussy's there and he's got a crack going, maybe she's wet and the pussy's dripping down. Anything like that can happen when you have a female plumber. I've never had a female plumber. I'm just kind of telling you this as I go along. But it seems like that could be what could happen. A female plumber moving all over. When she move her leg to the left, it might put a swath of vaginal odors over to the left, move it over. She moves her left leg to the right, it might move odors coming out of her snatch to the right. Everything about her is geared towards a man. Unlike a dude there with a fucking crescent wrench or some plumbing pipe fitter, whatever he's got, hammers and shit, that's nothing like that. But the chick there, every move she makes, she lifts her right arm up, man. Her hairs are all cut down under armpits, and it's got fucking deodorant. She's got perfume on. It might swath the perfume out. When she's talking to you, you realize that there's probably been a lot of dicks in that hole, that mouth of hers. There's the dicks have been in there again and again, and the faces she'd make. I start picturing all the shit because she's a female fucking plumber, and that sounds good. Now, that noise you hear is me moving on this damn chaise lounge. It's got little bendable joints. And as I move, it'll make that sound. Flat on my back. It's really great. It's comfortable. I'm really feeling it. So I invite her in. I say, yeah, come on in. Now, as I've told you, and it's not a joke, I'm extremely good looking with years and years of fucking experience all over the place. When she comes in, she can smell dope. Once she smells dope, she what? She smells dope. Her id turns on and says what? I want to get high and I want to fuck this guy. I want him to plumb me out. The plumber, my pussy, it's all of it. I mean, a pussy is what? A pussy's just basically a pipe going into a hole. That's your dick. And she's a plumber and dicks and pipes and all that stuff. Kind of gets me really interested. And I think it gets her interested. When she comes in, I can see she smells the goddamn dope. Now, usually in the morning, 6 or 7 o'clock, I don't fry up an egg. I don't make hash browns. I don't put toast in a toaster. I take a cube of marijuana from the brick that I've got, not just one brick. I think I have 3 bricks left of Pecaning Paralyzer. A woman gave me the bricks that I once fucked that pretty much saved me when I crashed in an ultralight in a swamp up here in upper northern Michigan. She happened to be standing there in the back room of her fucking grow house. Her mom and dad are legal growers of marijuana, and we fucked in there, and I remember it was such a spiritual fuck that I start crying and stuff. Have you ever done that? You start crying, your dick's going in and out. Have you ever done something like that? So when she comes in, she can smell the dope. And I'm excited. I think, wow, what a good-looking plumber. She comes in, I close the door, she smells the dope, and she said, I'm here to look at the bathtub, take a look at it, initially survey the bathtub. I said, sure, that's great. Come on in. The first thing I think is this. You know, I can't tell her that I was cleaning a urine carpet. That's a turnoff. It won't turn her on. It's like the other chick. I can't turn her on that way. I can't say I was cleaning a carpet, the stunk of urine if got too heavy, the bottom of the tub fell out. I can't bring any of that shit up. When I get her into the bathtub, she said, wow, maybe one of the worst ones I ever saw. She said, are those electrical wires? I said, yeah, they're hanging. What happened, when it went past, it pulled wires out and broke pipes and other things. She said, what was going on to cause this? She looked up when she said that. And the reason she looked up is she thought, did something fall through the roof? Did something come through the roof of the bathroom? Did a joist or something come off? A roof member come off? Did chimney bricks or bricks off the chimney fall off? They've seen shit like that. I said, well, you know, I'll be honest with you. And I try to change my voice. I don't want to sound like a tight kind of a white guy looking at a goy. I don't want to talk like that. I want to be, you know, suave and stuff. And I say to her like this, now please don't get turned on when you hear this, because remember, I got years of experience, fuckstick. I'm just telling you like it is. I said, well, you know, I was in here with a woman and we were, you know, going to make love and stuff. And we were in the tub and I guess we were too heavy. And, you know, she started bucking her hips because I was playing with her nipples. And she started bucking her hips, and the floor fell out. We fell through the floor.
And I said, you know, when we hit the floor, it should have upset us. It should have bothered us. But we made love. We took the stuff out of the laundry basket and we laid that in our areas that were appropriate, under our torso, under our heads, elbows. And we just made love. I can't tell you, hours. That's how I sounded to her, because I didn't want to destroy it. I didn't want to say I had a urine carpet in there and went through the goddamn tub and it's made a mess of everything because I'm so fucking cheap because I was looking through somebody's garbage and found a urine-covered carpet that smelled of cat litter, smelled of pussy, smelled of cat piss. I didn't want to tell her any of that. How's that a turn-on? You know yourself. Now play this back to that point and you'll start to feel it. You'll see, even if you're a dude, you'll feel it. You'll say, wow, that is good. I'm going to use something like that. I'm going to approach it like that. So she looks over the tub. She takes pictures of the tub. And she's got a gadget on a little telescoping pole. And she can hold that gadget, and it's got some kind of camera on it. And she can hold it, and the pipe will actually turn when she pushes a button on the handle. It turns and makes a 360 photo, 360 photograph or video of what they're looking at. The damage, the structural damage, what could be in the tub. And when she's done with that, we start talking. And I said, hey, can I get you something? I always use this voice. You can't talk like me and get a chick. You can't talk like I'm talking to you. But I can't talk to you that way because you're a dude and this isn't a fruit show. She starts to respond to sort of. I can feel it right away. I'm thinking, wow, I fuck people, prime drivers. I fuck them. Now, could this be me fucking a plumber, a female plumber? I'm so excited. A female plumber has come over and she sort of interested me, and I could tell because of the way I talk, the way we move and stuff like that. She says, yeah, this could be fixed, but it's not going to be in one day. She said, this will be fixed in stages. The electrical, the water pipes, the plumbing. She said the joists have to be looked at, but she said this tub can come out, and once it's out, we can move from there. And I said, boy, that's great. She tells me what she thinks is going to cost, which is absolutely fucking insane. Insane. I do these recordings. I do other stuff. Nobody supports this recording financially. Motherfucker. Get a six pack. You got to pay for it. You get some dubs yourself. You got to pay for it. You take a chick out in a fucking restaurant. You got to pay for it. Why in the fuck would you think this person that you're hearing now doesn't work for just like you do? Motherfucker. So she says, yeah, that it can be fixed. It's nice. It's interesting. And I could see that I had one girlfriend once that would get flushing in the chest, these red blotches. It's a dead giveaway. If you're ever with a woman and she's got red blotches on her chest, it means what? It means she's turned on. She's so turned on that her hot pussy is now working like a radiator in bubbling her insides, causing her insides to heat up. And these red patches are patches of fire, patches of desire coming from her cunt. You should know that at your age or whatever age you are. You should understand that. And I could see that on the plumber's chest. Now, the way I talked to her, the way I handled her was incredible. And I said, would you like some skunk? And that was a mistake. You don't say, would you like some skunk? You don't introduce a chick whose pussy smells like skunk. You never say the word skunk ever. I made an instant mistake, and I tried to correct it. I said, would you like a pre-roll? I have some pre-rolls from the dispensary. I got pre-rolls, and I got my own rolls. Would you like to light up with me here, right here, and take it easy a little bit? And I got things to drink. I got all kinds of booze. And she says, well, you know, and she takes a pause there. Well, you know. And I see her looking down at the tub, and on the edges of the tub are fucking pubic hairs. I mean, all kinds of pubic hairs that had snagged on the edge of the tub from the fucking dirty carpet I had. So there were pubic hairs on it, and I figured they were probably fucking on this, a chick with her pussy dripping all over the place, the fire's going, the wood stove's going. This is their fucking rag, their fucking spot, and there's pubic hairs on the edge, and I actually believe there's a light in the lining, silver lining, whatever they say. There's hope because if the pubic hairs hadn't snagged on the side of the hole when the carpet went through, she wouldn't see the pubic hairs, and I think the pubic hairs are motivating her to get with your correspondent, Norm Augustina. She sees the pubic hairs. I see her seeing the pubic hairs. I can see her flushing in her chest these red blotches, and I now believe that I'm starting to smell pussy, and that's how it works. Why do I smell pussy? Because that's what happens. The cunt is dripping so massively, is flowing drops of pussy lubricant so heavily that it now goes into their drawers, into their panties, and it starts to fucking perfume the room with pussy. And once it does that, think about this. It's because it's pussy saying, I'm going to scent this area and try to draw in dick. The pussy knows better than the woman. It's a subconscious. It goes back to the cave days. The pussy knows when there's good dick around, and the pussy's now working almost against the woman in its own way to try the dick in, to pull it in, the dick in. She saw those pubic hairs that weren't from me fucking. That's not how the hole got in the tub. She saw those, and she thought, wow. I just clicked my fingers. Can you hear that? Wow. He was fucking in here. That's the kind of man I like. They were fucking in here. He said they fell to the floor and they kept fucking in the basement. Now that's the kind of fuck I want. I'm just the plumber. I never get fucked in my job. Now, I don't know why. I never get fucked in my job. She's thinking that to herself. Her voice inside her head, that voice you have inside your head. And she says, you know what? I will take one. That sounds good. It's a stressful job and I sure appreciate you offering it to me. I appreciate you offering me, you know, marijuana. Now that's still on the up and up. Her delivery is still on the up and up. It still has the semblance of fucking civilization. The semblance of somebody who fits into society. The semblance of somebody who doesn't want to make waves. She's got a job. She's doing what you're supposed to do. And she's following the script. That still sounds like it. Until I bring the dude over. Till I bring it over. Now, I have a little fucking thing. It's actually a gravy dish, but it looks like a gold gravy dish. And I altered the gravy dish so that it holds these doobies. They look like bullet holders, and that's what it looks like in the gravy dish. They look like they hold bullets, like a bullet holder, like a belt with these little pieces of leather wrapped around each bullet. It looks like that with the gravy dish. And I only put the doobies in it and I bring it over. I bring that over. I bring my butane lighter over and she's basically sitting over on the toilet, and when I come in, I sit on the floor, and we got two dubs. Here she is, sitting on the toilet. Here I am, sitting on the floor, and this all started because of the bathtub and the story that I gave her. It's not the real story, but it's a story that I gave her. If I can't tell her a urine rug and crashing through the floor and me trying to save fucking 2 cents and I really scored here and had to pay for it, that's all dead. I still thought that I was hurting when I said skunk. Because every chick knows that the slang name for their pussy is skunk. I mean, it's fucking skunk. You can take a chick anywhere with that pussy dripping and dick will come up. They'll just show up. They don't know why, but it's true in every way. So we're sitting there smoking the dubs. We're sitting there smoking the weed. The plumber and I, the female plumber, I thought was a man. It's not a man, it's a female plumber. And we're just talking, we're chatting. And you can learn this stuff here. We're talking, we're chatting. And then as she's taking a draw of the doobie, I don't know, 4 or 5 times, 97% THC, pecanning paralyzer. You can't buy it, man. You got to have connections. I got 3 bricks of this shit here. If you're a bitch and you want to smoke down, you find your own way here as long as you're not a fat whore. Don't want no mountain of pus. Don't want no mountain of fucking fat. You find your way here, and the same thing will happen to you. Now, she gets on her stomach. She puts the fucking doobie in the gravy dish, and she says, let me take another look. Now, I'm starting to pop a rod right now. I thought, I can't tell the story right. I'm going to pop a rod, and that's what I'm doing. I'm starting to pop a rod right now telling you this story. You can fucking go past this if you want. She says, let me take another look at the hole. I said, great, she put her dube there. Now, I think the THC was loosening her up, and I think how good-looking I was, and I think she could see the huge bulge in my pants. The huge bulge in my pants looks like I'm, like, storing a bowling pin in there. That's how big my dick is. 14.5 inches, 15.5 pounds. I weighed my cock once on my friend's cocaine scale. I'd never lie to that, because that's so cliche. It's not a lie, it's truth. I had some pituitary problem with regards to my organ, and it got excessively fucking big. Some people grow up with a pituitary problem. They got a problem with their voice. They're 7 feet tall. They can't walk right. They're unemployable. But I guess my dick did the same thing, but only in a different way that didn't hurt me societally wise. She says, let me take a look one more time. When she says, let me take a look one more time, this is the honest to God truth. She's wearing khaki shorts. that she came with khaki shorts and a shirt that had the plumbing, her name and a plumbing company on it. When she says, "Let me take a look one more time," I know something's going on. I can smell pussy. I know something's going on. It's so powerful, it's overriding the stench of urine that was still hanging around for the fucking carpet I tried to clean. But I can smell pussy now. It's more powerful than that. That is nature. There's no way to fuck that rug. There's no way to fuck those urine odors. There is a way for me to fuck her. Now, nature's working with us. The groove is happening as I'm sitting. She said, "Let me take a look one more time." And I say, "Well, that's fine. Go ahead and take a look. You look all you want." When she gets down on her stomach in her shorts, this is not an exaggeration, not in any way. When she gets down on her stomach, I see drops of liquid leaking down her inside of her thighs. And the back of her shorts are wet. You know what that is? That's fucking gold in them there hills. That's fucking gold in them there hills. That's her pussy juices. She wants your correspondence cock. And I'm thinking, fucking A, man, this goddamn urine carpet that I took out of the trash is really proving off in fucking handfuls. I've got bountifuls of fucking of gratitude from whatever this made this happen in the universe. There she is. I never would have met her. The plumber wouldn't have been on my bathroom floor looking in the hole on her fucking stomach while I see the vaginal juices drip down her legs. When it's dripping that bad, there's no way they'd say no. It's impossible for her not to fucking suck, for her not to scissor you in this fucking bathroom with this hole. It's impossible. When I introduced the idea of what I did with the other woman, she got turned on that minute. Most Ricky Tick like that. The juices were leaking down inside of her thighs. There was a wet spot in her khaki shorts. The plumber was plumbing, man. It was fucking unbelievable. The plumber was plumbing, and I'm seeing the leak, man, and I need to fix that fucking leak. And how do you fix that leak? By jamming a new pipe into that fucking hole and fixing the goddamn alteration, the leak in the fucking pipe, which is her gut. Now, that's very glamorous and all that. I just put it in a glamorous way. But normal people wouldn't have said it like that. They might have said, you know, she was lubricating and a female natural function, and she was turned on, and geez, I hope she uses her head. And they might have said some goddamn gibberish like that, but not me. I'm not going to do that. Not ever. When I'm dying, maybe. When I'm dying and being ripped off by a big black woman who weighs 360 and I'm in some home and she's ripping me off the last fucking wheatback penny I have to my name and she's stealing it, then I might fucking do something different. That's what's going to happen to you. Just please know that. So when she's down on her stomach, I just put my hand on the inside of her fucking left thigh. I put my hand there and she responded instantly, which means she's not getting any dick. She responded instantly. It went through her like a shock, like a fucking lightning bolt through both of us, man. Who cares about the urine carpet? I don't care if the goddamn floor costs 10 grand. I'm getting pussy, mofo. I'm getting pussy, man. And it sounds silly. It sounds cliche, like somebody fucking some goddamn Pulp Fiction novel from the 1950s or 60s, something like that. But I'm telling you the honest to God truth. There's no way you could make this up. Nobody has that ability to make this shit up. It's because it's real, and I'm repeating what happened. I have a tremendous memory. I start rubbing the inside of her thigh, man, and she had a goddamn big flashlight in her hand. When I start rubbing the inside of her thigh, I heard the flashlight hit the cement floor in the basement. You know why? She was shorted out, man. Her it had taken over. The hole wanted meat. It wanted fucking hamburger helper in that cunt. That's me. Sweat, semen, hairs. That's hamburger helper in a woman's pussy, motherfucker. And it's never going to happen to you. It's never going to happen to you. Why? Because you don't think the way I think. You don't respond the way I think. Even though you've had 20 years of fucking grooming, 25 years of grooming in these recordings, man. Pardon me. I'll be right with you. You gotta clutch onto this shit. You gotta engage it now. Yeah. Yeah, we fucked. We fucked real good. You're gonna say you fucked next to a toilet? There's probably urine all over the place. Pubic hairs might be shit. When you're caught up, you don't care about that. I didn't care if I fell through the fucking hole that's in the floor and fell 10 or 12 feet, whatever the distance is, and we both died. I was getting pussy from a plumber who came to my house to plumb me, man.
You've been listening to the one and only...
My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
We meet at the big clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up, you're looking down, you're looking to the right, you're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder, eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands, they're smiling. They've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower, 100-150 feet tall, brown bricks, tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down, we pop the corks in your toes, and all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange-colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange-colored solution and replace the corks in your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year, maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in a million-dollar house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best-looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend, Norm Augustinus. And instantly, and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, we were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Lucille, how are you? I am fine. I hope this letter finds you happy and well. Lou, I am sending you this typed letter because something recently happened to me. You've always been such a good listener. Lou, I recently was walking alongside the road. I was on my way to Donut King. Every morning, I walk to the King to get a donut and to buy a cup of coffee. While I was walking, I found an old bowling ball lying on the side of the road. When I picked up the bowling ball, I found that someone had stuffed something into the finger holes of the bowling ball. I found a roadside bench and I sat atop it while I examined the finger holes of the bowling ball. Lucille, each finger hole drilled into the bowling ball contained a rolled up, very soiled pair of women's cum panties.
There are three holes in a bowling ball. All three holes contained a tightly rolled up pair of soiled women's cum panties. When I pulled the cum panties out of the bowling ball finger holes, I noticed someone had blown round 2-inch in diameter holes into the ass end of the panties. Of course, these were dick holes. The edges of the holes appeared to have been singed black by something hot that went through the fabric of the panty. Without question, I believe a white-hot, rock-hard, sweaty dick made the asshole bore holes through the panty fabric. The bowling balls had deep gouges and hundreds of scratches atop the bowling ball. It's likely this bowling ball rolled hundreds of miles, perhaps thousands of miles, to get to where I found it. The cum panties stunk deeply of pussy. Lucille, I believe I know the full story behind the bowling ball. A man with a big dick was bowling on lane 11. A woman with big melons and a tight minge was bowling on lane 10. The woman on lane 10 threw her ball, but her pussy-smelling fingers didn't come out of the ball, and the ball dragged the woman down to the end of her lane. The woman with the big melons got tangled up in the bowling ball pin-setting machine. Her shirt and brassiere and black stretchy pants got somehow torn off. The man on lane 11 saw what had happened, and he crawled into the pin-setting machine on lane 10, and he pulled off the three pairs of panties she was wearing, and he fucked the big melon woman with his monstrous, thick and long cock. The woman sucked his sweaty, cum-filled bowler's prick, too. When the man and the woman were done fucking, the man stuffed the woman's cum panties into the finger holes of a bowling ball he found in the back room of the bowling alley. Someone found the pussified bowling ball, and they threw it in the road, and it's been rolling ever since. Until I found it, I've got shit to do. Write me back when you can. Love, Norman. P.S. Women that possess an always wet fuckhole often wear three pairs of panties at the same time in order to suck up the huge amounts of daily cunt drippings. Also, I bumped into your big-titted little sister. She was pushing a rusty, flat-tired wheelbarrow at the downtown park. The wheelbarrow was filled with morel mushrooms. Morel mushrooms are considered a rare, expensive delicacy. Michigan is considered the heartland of morel mushroom hunting. When your big-titted little sister saw me, she dumped the morel mushrooms out of the wheelbarrow, and she took off her shirt, brassiere, hot pants, and crotchless panties, and she lied down on her back inside the wheelbarrow. When I got to your big-titted little sister, she had pulled her legs back, and she was aiming her tight cunt and luck shithole directly at me. So I ate out your big-titted little sister, and I gave her a rim job, too. While I was rimming your big-titted little sister atop the wheelbarrow, a woman walked up to us, and she said,
"One time I fucked a dude while we were playing chess. We got the fever to fuck, so we pulled our clothes off and we fucked atop the chessboard. While we were bawling each other, all the kings, rooks, bishops, knights, and pawns all fell onto the ground while we were fucking. Somehow, while I was fucking the dude's crap hole with my enormous thigh-mounted strap-on dildo, my lover got pushed off the chess table. The two kings that had fallen on the ground went point-blank into both of my lover's eyes, and he died on the spot. I pushed his rotting body around in a wheelbarrow that I found for a couple of weeks. The wheelbarrow looked just like the one your flat-chested whore is lying in right now, while I hitchhiked back home. I like this scene. I want to be a part of it. I hunger for someone to eat my stretched-out pussy and rim my wrinkled crap hole. So what do you say? Can I join you kids?"
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. Ladies, have I got a deal for you. Look up at the store monitor closest to where you are standing in the store. What are you looking at? Well, I'll tell you. You're looking at a genuine 16-pound vintage Brunswick bowling ball. So what you say? How can an old bowling ball help you to get dicked? Girl, when you buy this bowling ball and put it in your front yard, your man will come home and he'll find it. All men are automatically attracted to bowling balls. Bowling balls remind him of the bowling leagues he was once on when he was a kid and as an adult. He remembers the beer, the dope, the LSD, the easy pussy that was shared between teammates as he rolled that ball down a lane. Now fill those finger holes drilled into that bowling ball with filthy, putrid-smelling cum panties and he'll instantly pop a rod. You're not invisible anymore. Tonight, you're taking it. All night long, baby. The 10-inch alarm is sounding. Your man will get tweaked when he finds the pussy-smelling bowling bowling ball you planted in the front yard. Men love extremely soiled cum panties. Shit, piss, urine, vaginal juices found embedded in panties drive men wild. Your big dick lover will figure the bowling ball rolled to his front yard from the nearest bowling alley. It's a gift from God. He doesn't need a syringe filled with a double dose of testosterone. The cum panties stuffed into the bowling ball finger holes came to him like a message attached to the leg of a carrier pigeon. It's on tonight, whore. Spread your legs. Butter up your shit and fuckhole. Get on all fours. You're not a dried up middle-aged baboon anymore. You have needs to fill. Ooh-wee! Fill them now by buying this 16-pound bowling ball that comes complete with three pairs of women's cum panties stuffed into the bowling ball finger holes. Only $99.99. Come on up to the counter right now and get yours. We guarantee you'll take three or four fistfuls of fresh cum to the fuck hole within 7 days of planting the cum panty bowling ball. Just listen to our new super hot product jingle, cum panty bowling ball. You're gonna love it.
You're gonna take three fistfuls of cum up your smelly bum. We guarantee it!
Just make sure your big dick lover finds the bowling ball. On a side note, my executive assistant, Mandy Phelps, has just shit onto the floor of the woman's menstrual cramp lounge. Mandy was examining the rated X toilet paper in the woman's bathroom when she suddenly got sexually aroused. Let it be known, it is not this store's policy to place rolls of toilet paper into the woman's restroom that depicts naked black men printed onto the squares of toilet paper with their swollen, veiny dicks out. All female employees be advised we have a prankster. This store is not responsible for how your sexually hungry, cum-thirsty body reacts when you see fit, naked black men clutching onto their big, bald, enormous cocks that appear to be the same size of French baguettes. Miss Phelps has irritable bowel syndrome and she's extremely horny. When Mandy gets turned on, she power shits on the spot.
I noticed that the individual squares on the toilet paper roll in the ladies' room had printed high-definition photographs of naked black men printed onto them. They even had a couple of naked uncircumcised Jews and a couple of Polacks printed on the squares, too. The men looked so confident as they stood there with their big dicks out. I got so horny. My cunt juices dripped out of my mammoth hairy slit and onto my constipated asshole door, and my ass door gave way, and I shit. I got sexually overheated. When a woman is trying to shit, but then she sees naked photographs of men, it makes the shit log go back in, as the large colon prepares for the arrival of a big dick. FYI, I'm shoving the spike heel on one of my shoes into my clitoris right now.
Attention maintenance! Please head over to the woman's menstrual cramp lounge. Bring one pair of size 5 crotchless panties. Bring a medium size yellow sundress. Bring one can of feminine hygiene spray. Bring an open nipple brassiere. Bring one egg vibrator. Bring a squeegee. A bucket of warm water. A ribbed Magnum XL condom. A can of sliced Dole pineapple. A spray can of Summer in Paris air freshener. And a 12-month American Indian photo calendar that depicts Comanche Indians wearing war paint as they are banging out naked white women as they were headed west while their covered wagons is in flames behind them. This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. That is all.
Fuck. 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 Fuck.
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
When you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.
Jick!
If you enjoy Norm's show, please head to normaugustinus.com and make a financial contribution. It's our scene, man.